How would you like to find your purpose after retirement? In today's episode, Chris Pollard will tell us about the retirement paradox. And what's so special about him is that he's a certified financial planner and practitioner and an enrolled agent with the Department of Treasury and worked at several firms in advisory and private wealth management roles. And in 2016, he launched his own firm, Great Path, with the intention that with his comprehensive guidance, every client is on a great path to living a fulfilled life. So, Chris, tell us about what's the retirement paradox that most entrepreneurs considering retirement suffer from, and what's the solution for it?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu, mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here. I think a lot of entrepreneurs in particular are very, if they've been in it long enough and they get to the point where they can retire from being an entrepreneur, that means you've been doing it a long time and you've had success. So the paradox of success is, now that I've achieved it, what do I do with it? And who am I if I'm not an entrepreneur anymore? So there is a bit of a cliff that happens where we're reaching the mountain and the pinnacle of our careers. We're successful. We have enough financial resources to no longer need to work. And then all of a sudden, all that will go away, right? So we will not be running a business anymore. What are we going to do next? So there's this paradox of, I work hard as an entrepreneur so I can be financially independent, so that I can control my own life, my own schedule, I can make an impact on the world, whatever those motivating factors are for the entrepreneur. Retirement may not provide those unless we start to plan ahead for it and start to look at not just the money. Can I sell my business for enough? Or have I saved enough outside of the business to retire? But instead, what am I going to do with myself, my family, my community that will have a continuation of purpose through retirement, so that we don't have face this paradox of, I have enough, but I don't feel like it's ever enough. And it's not about the numbers. It's more about that sense of purpose and what's going to happen after entrepreneurship is over, right? What's next for me? And it's not just sitting on my front porch doing nothing or going on vacation all the time. And a lot of the retirement brochures will always have someone on a boat, right? Or they're at a beach. And it's like, well, how many people do that all the time? Not that many people. Like, there's a little bit more to life beyond that. And what has purpose beyond going to the beach for a vacation or holiday two weeks out of the year, right? What else is there? So we try to find a way with clients so that they can look at what was meaningful as an entrepreneur, and are those threads, we call it like a golden thread, that you can say, this was part of my life purpose. How can that continue into retirement and not stop once retirement happens?
Thank you. I don't see myself ever retiring. I would still consider that maybe at 90 years old, I'm going to be organizing poker parties and dance parties and still find a way to kind of keep active. So I'm wondering for someone who wants to find their purpose after retirement, what's the best way to maintain that sense of purpose and to still feel like on a high, still feel appreciated and significant? Because I think especially men, and I'm not saying just men, but I think for men in particular, respect, significance, being made to feel important is critical. It's like the most important thing in the world. You want to be appreciated. You want to have so many high achievements. And it's not just money, it's status, it's recognition, it's appreciation. It's so much more than just money. And how does someone maintain that sense of being important after considering retirement? Like, how can they stay in that high and find that amazing purpose and continue with the golden threads that you mentioned that were cultivated during entrepreneurship? How can those golden threads continue through retirement?
So what we do is we'll break it down into different areas. So just like a diamond has different facets to it, there's different facets to life. So if we were to say, okay, in your life, if there are 9 different facets, let's say, what would make each of those ideal? So we're going to shift the focus from entrepreneurship provides my sense of purpose to the different facets of life. In each of those facets, what makes this meaningful and purposeful to me? So I usually break it into four very general categories that uses the acronym PATH, because the firm is Great Path. So first is people, and that includes family, friends, and community. So who are the people in your life that you find important? And if those relationships were ideal, what would that look like? And as you mentioned, a lot of men, particularly in the United States, I can attest to this. I think it's fairly cross-cultural, though. Many men do not build social relationships outside of work or their entrepreneurship. So once they stop working, they lose their work sense of purpose, but also their community. And then they put a lot of pressure on their spouse, if they're married, or their significant other, to be their sole source of social connection, which is a big burden on the spouse, can cause a marital conflict or conflict as a couple, and then you only have one person. And if your spouse gets ill or has other interests, it can be very lonely and isolating. So we want to look in the P for the P section, who are the people, the friends, the community, the relatives? How can we build that? How did you build that when you were an entrepreneur? What were the common interests? And how can we continue that? Is there either a faith community, an intellectual community that you would find, a book club, something that is still stimulating and also promotes community so you can continue those? So that's P for people. We have A for activities. What are the things that you need to be doing to stay mentally active, physically active, and not feel like you have too much time and you don't know what to do with it? Or there's a principle where if you have chores to do, if you don't give it a backstop and you say, okay, I'm going to vacuum the house for 1 hour. If you just say, I'm going to vacuum the house today, you'll wander around the house with a vacuum and it'll take 4 hours to vacuum a house that really should take an hour, right? Because you didn't give it a stopping point. How can we constrain certain things and structure our time so that we're engaged in activities that are meaningful? So that's usually going to be some leisure time. What do I enjoy doing? What is recharging to me? If we want to do some work, like you had mentioned, like, hey, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to keep doing things. What are those things that you want to do and why? What's meaningful to those? And what would make that ideal, considering you do want to spend time with those friends and family, build community, right? So how do we integrate friends, family, and community with the activities that we'll be doing, work, volunteering, leisure? And then are there ways that you want to be learning and engaging with community? Then we look at things. What are the things you want to have, which is usually your house? Where do you want to be living? What does that look like? What would make your home feel like a place where you want to be, right? And enjoy time with you and your community and do those activities. And then are there items that you've always wanted to have? Like if you want to have a boat, or you said, look, I'm really into this hobby. I really want to build out my woodworking tools, right? Or something like that. What are the things you want? What makes that ideal? Then we look at health, which is mental, spiritual, and emotional and physical health, right? What will keep that going? How do you stay mentally active throughout retirement? What are the things that would give you spiritual connection if you're a spiritual person? And then how are you going to stay physically healthy by being, you know, having motion every day, walking, spending time in the outdoors, appropriate exposure to sunlight, those kinds of things. So when we look at those, it starts to look at the different facets of life. How can we shine those up to make a shining diamond, right? And have a brilliant retirement where we see, okay, there's light and joy in this, and not, oh my God, I'm not going to be working, then what will I be doing? Instead, okay, community is important, the activities I have, what I have, and then my health is important. If I made all those facets ideal, then we have a replacement for the entrepreneurship, where we have it a replacement for some of the social connections that we built through the entrepreneurship. So that's the basic structure that we take clients through when we first start working together. And then we continuously review this to make sure we don't have an unexamined life where you just keep doing the same thing over and over again and you're kind of happy, but sometimes you're kind of miserable too, right? So what can make us make sure that we check in with ourselves at least once a year, check in with yourself, and say, okay, is my life going the way that I would like it to go? Do I have that sense of purpose? Am I following my golden threads, right? And then if not, what should I calibrate now? And how can I turn that into actionable goals for this year? And into small steps. Yeah.
Tell us about three case studies of entrepreneurs that have gone through the PATH system with you, and give us an example of the kind of job that they had, the kind of like business that they had, and how did they shift that into creating an active lifestyle with the PATH system by perhaps preserving some of the people relationships that they had while working and transferring them into a retirement that works for them.
Yep. So one client in particular, when I was working with her, she found that she's doing a lot of teaching, and she had an entrepreneurial role in which she was teaching courses, right? So teaching a lot of courses live, and she had was generating her wealth through that, as well as rental properties and a few other business activities. But her main one was teaching courses. And she was realizing that, okay, if I don't have this mental stimulation, what am I going to do with myself? And she was getting very nervous. So we started to identify, okay, where's your friend circle? And she says, okay, I don't really have a friend circle outside of work. I have a few friends, but I need to build it up. Okay, what do you enjoy doing? And she enjoys hiking and biking. So we said, where are local, who else enjoys hiking and biking? And do they do a group activity, right? So we started to plan this out. And then she started to do this more regularly. And then she could see, oh, I can, if I'm not working, I have something to do, and it involves people in that community. So it started to transfer over to something else, right, outside of the entrepreneurial realm. Then she also decided, I'm going to keep working part-time in retirement because I enjoy it. It's mentally stimulating, but I'm going to say no when I don't want to do it, right? So instead of being being a yes man, right? You always say yes to everything. Instead of being a yes man, in her case, she could be a no woman and say, I will only work when I want to and when it fits my schedule, and being more in control of her own schedule and not letting the entrepreneurship and the business ownership control her in retirement. Instead, she's saying, this is supplemental. It keeps me mentally active. I enjoy it. So we're going to keep doing it, but just on a smaller scale, and I'll put it in its place, right? And not let it overgrow my entire retirement scenario. And this is still in the works, right? There's sometimes with systems, we'll say, okay, this one system will fix everything. That's not how life works. Most of the time, it's an iterative system where you have to continuously grow in a steady way, right? Not one time fix something and everything's perfect. It's, okay, this year we're trying to focus on building community outside of work and downsizing your schedule, right? Or right-sizing her schedule. Now she feels more freedom to not work if she doesn't have to, because she doesn't have to financially, only works because she wants to and is building those social connections, right? So that's one example. I don't know how many more you want me to, you said three. I can keep going on examples.
Yes, let's have three.
Yeah, so another client who had a very successful, I'm going to change some of the facts just so I can protect client identity, has a very successful house cleaning business that generated millions of dollars in revenue. So a lot of house cleaners going around our area, and eventually sold the business for something to the tune of $30 million. So a very large business that was regional. And he found that he couldn't let go of that entrepreneurial itch. He didn't really know what to do with himself. So he started buying a lot of rental properties and renovating them and flipping them and having rentals until his wife got cancer. And then he realized, okay, life's short. I maybe should focus a little bit more on how I'm going to spend time with the person I love and have built a life with. There are things that I want to do. I want to travel and do those things. So I'm going to simplify this complex, he went from one business to another, right? So that transition for him was a little, it wasn't quite as smooth because he went from one entrepreneurship thing to another. In his mind, he was setting himself up for financial success, but he had already achieved it, right? So it's that moving from one entrepreneurial thing to another, but not having it be the right size because it was too time consuming. So right-sizing his investments in the real estate space made it so he has more free time to spend time with his wife, see kids and grandkids, and really enjoy the retirement that he's worked for without necessarily focusing as much. And sometimes it takes that realization of, oh man, I'm doing all this working, and there can be almost like grinding, right? It's this, like, you're slowly grinding down yourself to be financially successful or to scratch that entrepreneurial itch, instead of focusing on, well, what's really important to me? What do I care about? And if time with my spouse is limited, and after a certain point, people, when they're 90 years old, might not want to get on an airplane and travel because it's uncomfortable. We should probably do that now, early in retirement, right? So shifting some of those focuses and knowing that this is an ongoing process, right? Because sometimes if you just tell a client, you need to travel more, they won't do it. You have to say, well, what are some things you've always wanted to do, and when do you think you should do them? And open the discussion to it. And that helps the client kind of solve the problem with me facilitating rather than me telling them what to do. Because when you tell somebody what to do, sometimes they get like a child and they say, no, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to do what I'm doing. So that's the second one. And then third one was a successful business owner in the art space doing backdrops for famous movies, right? So movies, they would do a lot of the art in the background for movies. So when there's scenery in movies, equipment set up, all those kinds of things. So in Hollywood space, they were running the business in a way that was very stressful over time and had to transition the business to someone else inside the business. So we had to help the client. How do you get out of the business, right? Because you're the one that runs it. How do you transition that to someone else, let go of the business and your identity in as a fairly prominent person in the entertainment business? How do you go from that to something else? And he had had a liver transplant. So he knew that I have limited time with some of these organ. When you do organ transplants and you're on drugs, it makes sometimes reduces your health and your life expectancy. And he knows, okay, I may not live as long. I need to focus on what? So we went through that exercise of, okay, look at the PATH method. What are the different things you'd like to be doing? So he'll spend time going on hiking trips in nature with his wife, because that's what he loves to do. They do some international travel now. They see their grandkids. And the focus is very much shifted. And then he joined art communities where they'll do art projects together, and they'll actually have multiple artists come and do different pieces and then combine their art together. So he's built a community that's adjacent to the field he was in before and still gives him that community and connection going forward. And then, you know, we work out all the details of, okay, how much do you sell your business for and how do you allocate the resources and all of that. But if you have a good portfolio of investments, but a bad life with it, like, what's the point, right? So he's been able to make the transition quite well, and he's been enjoying life. So it's wonderful to see.
Thank you. Tell us more about three examples of how people are activating the people, the activities, the things, and the health in their life. So imagine, let's say someone wanted to find community, like, how would they do it? Would they look at, okay, these are my, I don't know, 10 different interests. I don't know, horse riding, golfing, boating and playing cards or whatever. And then they would basically look at a kind of activities that make them feel important and make them feel good. And then they would look for those kind of communities in their local area. Is that how it goes in terms of building community and feeling important in those communities?
Yes. So one of the ways to particularly men seem to need a structure around building social connection more so than women tend to, where women will tend to talk and build relationships that way through talking. Men tend to build it through doing. So, you know, that's not exclusive. Women often need a structure too as well, because that can help break down the initial barrier and almost the fear barrier of, I don't know these people, are they going to like me? You know, am I going to fit with them? All those things can be, that fear can be lowered when there's structure around it. That's why things like, if you're interested in a particular topic, you could find a book club in your local area where you read books on that particular topic, and then everyone gets together and discusses it. So it has a discussion aspect as well as a common interest, and everyone knows, okay, there's going to be these questions. We read them. We read the book. There's some structure to it. And that can say, okay, I know that it's not going to just be an open room where there's a group of people, right? This is terrifying, particularly for introverts like me, where oh, it's just an open room and you have to go walk up to somebody, introduce yourself and be their friend. Like, that's terrifying for someone that doesn't want to just go up to a stranger and talk. Instead, it provides structure around it. And there's a lot of groups. Our local community, one of our local communities has a new neighbor club, where if you've newly moved to the town, they have nights where everyone gets together and people that have been living there a while and new people get together and they'll play card games. They'll go out to restaurants. They'll have different activities. And the purpose is to get people integrated into the community. And there are a number of towns and areas that have those types of things. Their meetup.com is a website. It's actually global, where that'll have meetups of different interests, and you can get, find local areas that have those types of things. And then particularly around interests, like if you're into, let's say, dog training, you can find what are the organizations that are into dog training. So in the United States, we have AKC. So they have local clubs. Where's the local club for dogs? And then you can go with your dog and they'll do dog training stuff together. Everybody hangs out with their dogs. It's a good time. If I'm into woodworking, where's a local woodworking shop? And they may have classes, and then you go to one of those classes, you'll meet other woodworkers and you say, hey, I'm working on this project. You want to come like look at this thing, or you can work on it together, right? So it's finding those different interests, and often it's asking someone that's also interested in the same thing, hey, do you know anyone else that's interested in this? And sometimes you have to take the initiative and form your own group, right? And then just put some structure around it and say, okay, we're going to get together once a month, and we're going to talk about this and we're going to do that, right? A little structure. And it takes 5 or 10 minutes once a month to send out an email like, hey, this month we're talking about X, Y, and Z, right? And you'll say whatever you're interested in talking about. And that gives people structure, and they know, have some expectation about what's going to happen socially. And then they can start to build the connections as they're working together on something. So I hope that provides some examples about how people can build that connection and community. It has to be with a little intention and sometimes a little initiative as well. There's kind of that, it's almost like being in high school when you're going into a new classroom. Oh my God, I don't know if my peers will accept me. I'm not sure that ever goes away for people, right? But we're adults now. We can act like adults and we can go find someone that would be, could be a friend, right? And build community with for a long time this way.
Thank you. How can entrepreneurs find the courage to finally live the life they've been wanting to live since they were really young? And I would say there's a lot of entrepreneurs that perhaps have lived their parents' life. They have perhaps lived the life that their wife suppressed them into. They've lived the life that someone else said, oh, you should do that. And perhaps they've been very successful at it, but not truly happy. How can someone activate finally that courage? Maybe they like painting. Maybe they like a certain activity that, you know, there have been a lot of entrepreneurs that in the later life have become billionaires because they finally dared to do the thing that they've always wanted to do. And they finally felt like their passion has become a source of purpose as well.
Yeah.
And oftentimes entrepreneurs may put off their passion until the end, and they may actually do what's necessary. So how does someone do that?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is assess the word necessary, right? This gets to what is actually necessary. And they say in life, your happiness is the gap between your expectations and reality, right? So have you set these expectations for yourself, or have you allowed others to set them for you, which isn't what you even want? Therefore, you feel like you must continue the same activity over and over again and keep doing what you've been doing. Instead, can we focus on those facets of life that we talked about earlier and say, okay, if this was ideal, what would I be doing? So it's more of a blank slate. And sometimes the magic wand question is a good way to do this. So the magic wand question, you may have heard this, is this. If you were to wave a magic wand, because you are a wizard, and you could change the world in any way you want, and things were going really well in the way you wanted, what would things look like? How would it be different? And saying, there's no obstacles, don't worry about obstacles, because the first thing we'll do is think of obstacles. Don't think about obstacles. If you could wave a magic wand and things are ideal, what does it look like? And if the answer isn't what you're doing now, then maybe your what you have assumed is necessary isn't necessary. And instead, you would be perfectly happy with painting, developing another product line, working in a different field. What are those different things that you're really passionate about? Then can we bridge the gap? What is the bridge between where we're at today, what we think is ideal, and is it too far? If it's too far, we can be realistic. We don't have to be, because there is a point where you do have to go from, you know, fairy thinking or thinking like, oh, I can just wave a wand and anything can happen. Yes, to a point, but there are certain constraints just because of our personalities, resources we have, right? How do we bridge the gap? What would be the next step to getting towards that? Oftentimes we think with the end in mind, but we also have to think about, okay, what is just the next step? We have to go one step further. If I took one step towards this, what would that next step be? And instead of trying to take the huge leap that may seem impossible, may actually be impossible, take one step and then you can course correct. You're following the thread, right? The thread is kind of winding. It isn't a straight line, right? So challenge the assumptions and then say, what is my next step? If I were to head towards something that is more ideal, what would my next steps be? And it doesn't have to be burn everything to the ground, start over. That's too extreme. That's black and white thinking. Instead, what would one small step be to head towards it? And then what's the step after that, right? Think a couple of steps ahead. Don't have to plan the whole thing out, because if you're trying to plan 10 years in the future, you're going to be wrong about most of it. If you plan what you're going to do this week, you'll probably be right about most of it, because you know what you can do this week. What happens over 10 years is much more unknown.
Thank you. What needs to happen on an energetic internal level so that you would make that shift in terms of feeling perhaps a little bit indecisive about all of your potential options, perhaps uncertain and a little bit down, perhaps even depressed about the potential of you not working anymore? And how do you make that shift from the a lot of negative feelings and into finding again joy and love into new activities that will come after retirement?
I recommend that people try things out for a while, right? And especially if you can do, if you do have the opportunity to do a transition phase where leading up to retirement, I am going to gradually attempt new activities and build community rather than, you know, doing that cliff thing, right? Where you're climbing the top of your career and then jump off of it and hope you can learn to fly. How about we learn to fly a little bit along the way and then we can like coast off the cliff later. So doing things in small sizes. So starting as you go to say, okay, I'm spending 80 hours a week at work. I'm this month, what I'm going to try to do is go to 75 or 70 hours a week. And those 10 extra hours I'm going to use to focus on the facet of life that I think is most important for me this year. My next step with that is this. And I'm going to use that time to hopefully doing a recharging activity, right? That also will have staying power beyond retirement, right? So something outside of work or adjacent to work that doesn't involve the entrepreneurial aspect to it that you can try out and give yourself enough time. So if that initial tryout fails, you try something else. And instead of saying, oh, I tried having friends once and it didn't work out for me, you say, okay, I tried this friend group. It didn't work. The vibes didn't have good vibes, let's say, right? All right, we're going to go to a different group and try it and keep building and have enough time for the iteration. If we just wait till the end and just jump off the cliff, it's going to be pretty terrifying. So leading up to it, gradually building into up to this is really important if we have the opportunity to. Some folks will get a deal and we're like, hey, they're going to buy the business and I got a great deal. I can't turn this down. Then we got to learn to fly as we're falling, right? Got to build the airplane as we're already off the ground. But for most folks, if we can do some leading up to it and make it less of a jarring transition, that's going to lead to more success. And I would also say that there will, for many people, be that adjustment time where you may experience depression and anxiety because of change. And you should, right? Emotions are an indicator that something in my life is different. It doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It just means something is different. So there should be a phase, though, where you get through that phase and then we go into healthiness in a reasonable period of time. If we go into depression and stay in depression, that's when we got to make sure that there's backstops for us, which means, is there a safety net? Is somebody checking on me to make sure, like, hey, I'm retired, I'm worried about it. Can you check on me and make sure I'm not just sitting at home and eating cookies all day long and just being depressed, right? Or drinking too much. That's something that clients will do, is sometimes say, I don't really know what to do today, but it's 9 a.m. and I'm going to open a bottle of wine. And it's, that may be okay to do every once in a while, but living like that consistently isn't good for your health or your mental health, right? So that's why those small one step, what's the next step I can do? Can I start to transition that before retirement? If not, then we got to come up with a little bit more of a faster game plan of, okay, what are the facets that you want to focus on first? And let's say, okay, those three areas, what are one steps you can do in each area?
Thank you. Tell us your 10 commandments for entrepreneurs considering retirement to put in place for their things. And I'm talking, how do they protect their wealth? And how do they make adjustments in terms of shifting, perhaps? So let's say they've always lived in a massive house that, you know, had so many bedrooms, and all of a sudden they look, you know what? I don't need like a gazillion rooms for what, right? Maybe they want to shift to a smaller place. Maybe they want to sell their business. Maybe they want to put things in place to make sure their will and other things that you hopefully tell us about need to be looked at. To make sure that everything is in place. So tell us about how entrepreneurs can protect their wealth once they're considering retirement, the 10 commandments.
Yeah. So the first one is start with the end in mind, which is, if I'm thinking of these different facets of life that I want to focus on, what would make those ideal, then what do I really need to support that? Right. And this can tell you, help you transition from entrepreneurship, if we're selling the business or transitioning the business, how that transition happens. Some people may already have financial independence, be able to support themselves with money they've already saved. They don't even need to attempt to sell the business. They don't. Some businesses are so stressful to run and require so much input from the entrepreneur that sometimes just shutting them down may be a viable option, and that's okay. Right. So, but if you know what the end is supposed to be, which I need to be supported by these in these different facets of life, may not need to sell the business. I can just wind it down slowly, and that fits my life better. And some people may say, look, I have a good team in place. I don't want their jobs to end just because I'm retiring. I want that to continue for them. So, because I have the end in mind, I want my team to be okay. I want me to be okay. Both of us, we can make both of this work. Then what we're going to do is say, okay, what's the transition plan for the team? And we're going to start to transition the business ahead of time, as well as the personal finances. So if we begin with the end in mind by focusing on what would make life ideal, and one of those could be the community of your coworkers and your employees, right? So look at your facets and begin with the end in mind and go one step at a time. Sometimes we try to swallow too much at once and then we choke on it, right? It's like, slow down one thing at a time in a controlled, paced fashion. Usually, if we're looking on the financial side, there's about 6 to 7 areas that people need to focus on when they're looking at financial independence. One is those facets of life. What do I want to do with myself that has meaning and purpose, right? So that's area one. Area two is, how much does it cost to do that, right? If I want to see my grandchildren or hang out with my kids or go on vacation or have a house, two houses, because I enjoy living in two states, right? Or two provinces, wherever you want to live. How much does that cost, right? So we say, what do we want to do with our life? How much does it cost? And then we look at, what are our financial assets? And one of the 10 commandments of financial assets is, do not overcomplicate it. Just because you have wealth doesn't mean it has to be super complicated because everyone else is doing it. We don't have to worry about fear of missing out on investment returns because so-and-so started their own cryptocurrency and did X, Y, and Z. That, what are your facets that you're focused on, right? And if one of them is, I want to enjoy time with family, kids, grandkids, work on my hobbies, build my community, that does not involve a cryptocurrency project, right? The two are not aligned. Right. So only right size to what you're willing to do. That's like the client who has too many real estate rentals. Right. Let's right size to what you actually want to do with your life. So that way we can actually do it, right? So once we look at asset positioning, is how can we make those assets kick off enough income to support the life you want to live? Then we look at, all right, if something really bad were to happen, what's the backup plan? Like if we have a lot of health issues, if someone dies prematurely, do we have enough insurance to cover those things? Do we have enough asset reserves? So we do emergency planning. And then we're going to look at, okay, do you have wills, trusts, LLCs? What kind of businesses structures need to make sure that the people and causes you care about can continue to be cared for after you are, if you've gone on to be in a better place, you're deceased, right? Or if you're incapacitated, how will you be taken care of? Who will take care of you? And how do you know that they won't steal your money, right? How can we structure things so you are taken care of and then your family is taken care of, or people or causes you care about is taken care of? Then we make sure, hey, can we minimize taxes as we're doing all of these things? We don't have to be extra patriotic and pay a lot of tax, right? We can pay a moderate amount of tax. And I will say on that side, many people will do very complicated things to avoid what in the big scheme of things is a small amount of tax. Sometimes it's better to go and pay a reasonable amount of taxes and have a simpler life that you feel like you can manage and isn't stressful compared to saving some amount of money on taxes. People will jump through many, many loopholes that are way more complicated than they need to be to jump through taxes. And then finally, it's reviewing this over and over again. Okay, what am I on track? Am I living the life, those facets? How much does it cost now? How is that going to change over time? Where are my assets positioned today? Should we tweak that? Do we have an emergency plan? And is my will stuff still up to date and all those business entities? And you keep doing this on an ongoing basis. So a lot of folks are checking at least once a year with themselves and say, am I on track? Where are things today? So that's the general, those are the areas that we'll look at for someone to be when they're doing that retirement transition. But a lot of the core is keep it simple, and also communicate. Another 10 of the 10 commandments, I think we'll get to 10 with this, will be communicate with your family effectively, which is, you as the entrepreneur, you might run money, right? Control everything, but your spouse or children have no idea how to do that. So you need to either train them to do it or introduce them to competent professionals that can help them, that they trust early, so that way it's not a very jarring transition for them. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, now I got to run millions of, you know, billions of dollars, and I have no idea what to do with this. So that early transition communication and letting them know why you're doing certain things is also really important, because people will interpret after someone's gone. You know, they have in movies, they have the reading of the will, right? And you'll say, oh, you know, and then somebody's really disappointed because mom gave so-and-so a house and the other person got nothing or whatever. Explaining that during life is really important to help continue that relationship and not develop hard feelings after someone is already deceased and they can't explain why it was done. And sometimes this was done in a very loving way, but someone's interpreting it in an unloving way.
Thank you. What needs to be put in place for people that want to downsize, let's say from a 30 million pound property portfolio that they are actively managing into something else, a lot smaller, or perhaps they want to sell out the whole thing? What would they do with the new money that is coming in once they sell this? What would they put this money in to make sure that it's protected as well?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that money can be invested, right? There's almost too many ways, right? Where it creates a paradox of choice. Oh, man, it's too many things to choose from. I don't know. And a lot of people will do it in a piecemeal fashion where they say, okay, I sold this one property, so I'll go throw this in some stocks. And then they'll sell another property and they'll be like, I'm going to put that in a certificate of deposit at the bank. So they're going to put it in a savings account at the bank. And they do it one step at a time without looking how it all works together. So the key is to say, all right, if I were to sell my properties, let's say it's a real estate portfolio of 30 million pounds, so that's around 45 million US dollars probably. If we were to sell that, and let's say the person needs to live on $1 million a year, let's say that's their income target, then we'd say, okay, we need... So that would be around 750 pounds a year. We would need that $30 million to produce 2 to 3% per year to support your living expenses. That is not a particularly high rate of return that's required, right? So if you want to get a lot of return and grow money really fast, you need to take risk with it. So that would be stocks, usually. People use stocks, buy businesses, private equity, those kinds of things, hedge funds. That's risky stuff if you're trying to grow your money very quickly and keep ahead of inflation, right? Inflation is, over time, everything gets gradually more expensive. And then sometimes it gets rapidly more expensive, as we experienced during the pandemic with supply chain issues. Things got very expensive quickly. So we want to stay ahead of inflation. And we say, oh, well, what's the required rate of return? If you don't need to put a lot of money in stocks and businesses, which is more risky, then why are you doing it, right? Is it just to keep up with someone else? Or could you live your life perfectly well with some very safe things at a bank, right, where it's insured? In the United States, we have FDIC insurance, where the government will basically back if a bank fails that you won't lose money up to certain limits. So there's a spectrum of risk, and you got to choose, well, what do I really need to live my life the way I want to and meet my legacy goals if I have goals beyond myself? What do I really need? And if what I need can all be done with safe investments, then use safe investments. If what I need requires a blend of safe and risky, then we use a blend. And some people will just say, look, I've been growing money for years. I'm an entrepreneur. I want things to grow. I can't help myself. We're going to buy aggressive investments anyway because they just can't help themselves. So it's about balance with a lot of it. Is not, because once you have wealth, building wealth is different than keeping it. Two very different things. Because often it takes a very large amount of risk to build a large amount of wealth. Once you're trying to keep it, then you have to often accept lower rates of return in order to keep it and have it be stable, because stable investments tend to produce lower rates of return. So you just have to be okay with it. And anyone that's telling you something different is lying to you because they want to sell you something, right? Because they're saying, oh, buy this, the Bitcoin's safe, it's the new thing. It will be or it won't be, but does that fit the goal? If we only need to grow 2 or 3% a year, why are we putting it in something that they're telling me is going to grow 100% in 1 year? Because if it could go up by 100%, it could probably would go down by 100%. So there's no free lunch out there. There's nobody handing out money for free to everybody, right? If there were, I'd be first in line. Instead, we have to say, okay, what is reasonable? What am I trying to do with the money? Then how can we align it with, do we use stocks? Do we use bonds? Do we use other types of investments? And balance it so that way we're not trying to overshoot our rate of return to be too high. And this is very antithetical to a consumerist culture where we're saying, oh, try to grow everything, you know, fear of missing out, grow it as fast as possible, make more money than everyone else. Well, what do you want to do with your life, right? Start with that, those facets of life. Then we can align your portfolio and you might have a much less stressful experience and still enjoy being very wealthy, wealthier than you probably ever imagined still, while not having to put up with, oh, the market, stock market crashed and now I'm all stressed out. Well, maybe we don't have to worry about it anymore because we only put a portion of the money in stocks. So a lot of it is right sizing to what do you actually want? How do you want to live your life and what are your goals? And then you can line up the money with it.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
So I can be connected with on LinkedIn, and you can look for me as Chris Pollard at Great Path Planning. That's the name of my firm. You can also go to greatpath.com to reach out if you have any questions. And there's also resources on there, some things we've written. I've written a book recently which discusses a lot of these things, which says, hey, when is enough enough? If I'm about to retire, what am I going to do with myself? If I'm going to sell my business? A lot of those things are covered in the book, Untangling the Golden Knot. It's written like a workbook where you read about a client story, you think about the topic, and then you write what you think you're going to do about it. We don't want to just think about it and not do some action. We actually want to do some action. So we're going to write it down and it gives you next steps to do. So that's different ways that folks can connect with me.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.